You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Gang's all here, ready to go. Seton joining us via remote, but Paulie, Fritzy, and McLovin here in the man cave. Poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that coming up. Your phone calls, as we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend. Your chance to be part of the program, whether you email, you tweet, or dial us up. Operator standing by. Actually, it's singular. It's Marvin standing by. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Chris Sims, the great analyst from NBC Sports, will join us coming up as we dissect what happened in the NFL yesterday and last night. Our good buddy Ross Tucker, Westwood One, will join us. We'll hear from the Notre Dame head coach, Brian Kelly. And we will bring back an interview that I conducted with Alex Trebek a couple of years ago. Of course, the great game show host passing away over the weekend at the age of 80, pancreatic cancer. But we had him in studio in New York, and we thought, yeah, let's bring it back just to let you hear Alex, the person, and talking about how he got to this point. He's one of the toughest guys I've ever been around. You know, he had had knee surgery, the same knee surgery that I had, replacement knee, and he wanted to go out there and continue to do Jeopardy. And talking to a couple of people that are very familiar with Alex yesterday, and they just said, you know, he was just a tough SOB. And when he went out there, he was great at what he did, loved what he did, and it showed. And we thought, let's bring it back to let you hear from Alex Trebek. I went back and listened to a voice message that I kept. Alex was very beneficial when I did Sports Jeopardy. That was on the Jeopardy set. And everything about it was the same. The people, the great people behind Jeopardy, the producers, executive producers, the people who were coming up with this, the questions there, the research department, wonderful. And I was nervous because you're on the Jeopardy set. And, you know, we changed the background for a sports theme. But that's Alex's house there. Alex's podium there. And when I went out to Los Angeles to start shooting Sports Jeopardy, I would usually do 4 shows a day. And I would try to do 20 shows in a week. And then I'd come back out later. And we did 100 episodes of Sports Jeopardy. Alex calls me up in that Alex Trebek voice. And he said, let's go to dinner. And we went to dinner, and we went at like, because I had to get up early to do the radio show. And I think we went at like 5 o'clock. And we're the only ones in the restaurant, all the way in the back. And he was just, he was a gentleman. He was graceful. There was kindness there. And he just said, look, ask me anything you want. If I can help you in any way to understand this transition. Now, keep in mind, there were already articles out there that I was being brought in to audition to replace Alex Trebek, which was not true, was not interested in doing that job. Love that, you know, that somebody would consider me for that, but I was never up for that job. And I told Alex, before we get started with dinner, I don't want your job. And he says, you're not getting it. And then we just laughed because I had to get it out of the way because I just never, you know, wanted him to think that I was brought in and I somehow wanted that job. But he gave me a call and I saved the voice message. And we emailed a few times back and forth. When I went through my health issues, he reached out to me and I reached out to him when I knew that he was going through chemo. But God rest his soul. He was wonderful. The best that has ever done anything like that, hosting a game show every single night. And he looked great. He sounded great. And that's a big loss. No, that really is. Big loss, but I forever grateful. He gave me his Sharpie. Now, when you read the clues, you have to do it, and it's really difficult to do. And he made it look so easy. But you have to read the clue. And then you have to call on somebody. You cross out the question or that clue just so you don't lose it on your page because you only have a couple of seconds to, you know, find who is, you know, buzzing in and then go back, get the answer, go again. They go to a different category. So you, and he said, here's my Sharpie. And I still have it. But, you know, he was just, and he came out on one of the episodes with Sports Jeopardy. He said, look, I'd like to come out and read a clue. And we did final Sports Jeopardy, and he came out. And it was just, it was nice that he did it. And he drove in, you know, probably an hour to get there and just to do that. And I was just forever grateful. You know, it's pay it forward. And I always, in my mind, I always think, how do I help the next person who wants to do this or the next group of people who want to do this? And he went out of his way to be ingratiating and let me know, hey, you're in good hands. And I was with the Jeopardy people. Wonder Harry Friedman and his staff. Spectacular. Spectacular. But we'll play that interview. That'll be in the final hour of the show. Figured a good way to end up this Monday. Yes, Paul.
Jeopardy has announced that the final episode of Alex Trebek will be played on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. And he was working as recently as 10 days before he passed away. He shot his final episodes on October 29th, 10 days before he passed. That's pretty tough stuff.
And I talked to somebody who worked on that episode, and they knew what was going on. They knew it. But, you know, Alex didn't, you know, Alex just plowed ahead. That's Alex. And I think they realized that was the last time they were going to film an episode of Jeopardy. But he didn't treat it that way because it's just not who he was. All righty. We'll have a poll question, play of the day coming up. The future of the quarterbacking position was on display yesterday in Arizona. I love this matchup. Kyler Murray against Tua Tagovailoa. And they're two of the more exciting players in the NFL. Now, this is the second season for Murray. And I think we were pushing for that MVP candidacy, along with Josh Allen in Buffalo. And, you know, he's in his second season. He's in that conversation. Tua is in his second start in the NFL. And Murray looked great. Threw for 300, rushed for over 100. Miami came out on top. And you can't help but notice that these aren't your traditional quarterbacks. They're short for their position, and they're riding a wave of similar style and size quarterbacks. This goes back to Drew Brees. Actually, it goes back to Fran Tarkington. Fran Tarkington was probably 5'9", 5'10", played for the Vikings, played for the Giants. He threw for 310 touchdowns, I think. It is over 300 touchdowns. And if you watched him, you would have thought there's no way that he's going to be able to survive in the NFL. But he was a scrambler. He didn't run for yards. He kept plays alive. And I always thought about that. When Brees came in, he came out of a Joe Tiller offense at Purdue that was a spread offense, and he was lighting up the Big Ten, but he was not tall and went in the second round. And then because Brees' success, Russell Wilson got a shot. And now Baker Mayfield got a shot, went number one overall. Now you have Murray. Now you have Tua in there. Young players who probably thought, I'm not going to be able to play that position, and now they get a chance. And when you watch, you know Murray and Tua are not the same guy. Murray is mobile. He's the fastest quarterback in the league, I'm going to guess. Him and Lamar, Kyler's probably the quickest, that's for sure. And Tua had some runs yesterday. Well, maybe you should learn to slide, Tua, but they're fun to watch. That was great. As we redefined the quarterbacking position, it was on display yesterday. There are losses. There are good losses sometimes. There are bad losses. And then there are devastating losses. Tampa Bay Buccaneers fall into that last category. National TV, at home, you had already lost to the Saints to start the season. You were on a roll. Brady and Antonio Brown, the defense was getting credit. The offensive line's getting credit. Everybody's talking. Tampa, they'll be hosting the Super Bowl. And then all of a sudden, the Saints just rolled them. It's rare when you watch a Tom Brady game and you go, this isn't competitive. We might say it when it's the other way around. There was no comeback. There was no, hey, 28-3, we're coming back. 28-0, you're not coming back. But that was a devastating loss yesterday. That's one of those that kind of stays with your psyche a little bit longer. Like, wow, when you get pressure on Brady, you beat Brady. If you don't get pressure on him, you're not going to beat him. The Saints put pressure on him, got to him a couple of times. I don't know whose fault it is with some of the interceptions. You know, one, it looked like receiver stopped, but still, he did not look comfortable at all. Here's Brady after the loss last night.
Turning the ball over against a good team never helps. You know, we just didn't play the way we're capable of playing. Everyone's got to do a lot better, and it starts with me. And, get back to work tomorrow morning and try to make it a better week.
And he got swept. First time he had been swept by a divisional rival, the Saints, with the win last night. Well, he was in the AFC East, and chances are he wasn't going to get swept by a divisional rival in the AFC East. But that was impressive. The Steelers are 8-0, but I don't know how good that 8-0 is. 8-0 for the first time in history. Their last three wins by 3, 4, and 5. And in each of those games, the losing team had a chance to win the game in the final minute. If I'm a Dallas fan and I watched that game yesterday, you have to go, why aren't we like this all the time? Just competitive. That's it. Just competitive. But the Steelers pick up the win. Bills beat the Seahawks, and that to me was the eye-opener. You know, Russ going East Coast, and Josh Allen played great. Bills defense did a pretty good job containing Russell Wilson. The Chiefs are quietly 8-1. They could have lost the game. I don't know how good they are, but Patrick Mahomes, to me, is still the MVP. I mean, I think he would be the leading candidate. Now, you know I'm not big on this halfway point or after the first month, talking about the MVP. The only reason why I bring it up is I think we forget how great Patrick Mahomes is. It's weird. That was quickly. Like, after 2 years, we sort of moved on and went, okay, he's great. We got the new story was an old story, and that's Russell Wilson. Now, we tried to get Kyler Murray in there, Josh Allen in there, Brady in there, Aaron Rodgers in there. And then you start to look at Mahomes and you go, he's still pretty good. Yeah, McLovin.
System quarterback.
Yeah, his own system.
But he is throwing to guys who don't have, like you said earlier, like there's no one on the screen with Tyreek Hill. He's open by 26 yards. What the heck is going on there?
I could have thrown two touchdowns yesterday in the Chiefs game. I could have. They were that wide open, I could have thrown a 20-yard pass. If you say to the defense, all right, you can get to me, but you can't. Well, they wouldn't have gotten to me because the offensive line was blocking, and he just threw two touchdowns where I went, where's the defender? They were very simple, but his numbers are spectacular. I still think that they're better than last year. They haven't shown it yet this year, which is scary for the NFL. Yeah, Paul.
On normal timed routes, Tyreek Hill is not a special wide receiver. Once the play breaks and he decides, I'm just going to break a direction, he's uncoverable. It doesn't matter if the best defensive back is with him. You can't cover him when he zigzags.
Yeah. He's got weapons there. All else fails. I mean, nobody has more weapons than Patrick Mahomes does. But it feels like we exhausted that story. Now we got to move on to another story. Notre Dame takes down number one Clemson, double overtime. Indiana beats Michigan. And as I mentioned, we'll talk to Brian Kelly, the Notre Dame head coach. He'll join us coming up a little bit later on. I was also looking at the ages of the quarterbacks right now. Now, there are 9 NFL teams with at least 6 wins. Of the 9 teams, 4 have a starting quarterback over the age of 35. Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Roethlisberger. Of the 9, 3 have quarterbacks age 25 and younger. Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Only 2 of them have middle-aged starting quarterbacks. So between 26 and 35, that's Russell Wilson, Ryan Tannehill. In the next 5 years, you're not going to have Rodgers, Roethlisberger, Breeze, or Brady. In the next 3 years, you're probably not going to have Roethlisberger, Breeze, and Brady. And we're ushering in a whole new NFL because of the rules, the changes in the rules, and it's all offensive-driven. It's for fantasy. It's for gambling. And you're just seeing these quarterbacks coming in who are able to keep a play alive, dual threats, not afraid. You know, Tua wasn't afraid of the big moment there. That's his second start. Yes, McLovin.
But can this last? I saw Lamar Jackson take 2 hits that were gigantic yesterday.
Yeah.
How are these guys going to have 10-year careers if they run this much?
Well, you run, but you slide. You run, but you get out of bounds.
Eventually, they're going to take a cheap shot and hurt you, though.
Well, it feels like it'll be next man up when it comes to these quarterbacks because you've got another wave coming in. And you've got 4 quarterbacks, maybe 5 quarterbacks will be taken in the first round. And you got One that's a sure thing, Trevor Lawrence. Justin Fields appears to be. Zach Wilson to BYU, come on down. Kyle Trask at Florida. Trey Lance at North Dakota State. These guys are ready. They're ready to go. I don't know if Jordan Love can play, but Green Bay thinks he can. It's come on in and get in the lineup. Justin Herbert looked great again. Joe Burrow has played extremely well. That's why Baker Mayfield right now playing for his job. Jameis Winston lost his job. Marcus Mariota lost his job. They want to know right now, the next, you get 2 years usually. Baker's in his third. They want to know because these quarterbacks are ready to come in and ready to play. It's no more of this, you're not tall enough. You're not this. You're not that. I will say this. When I watch Tua, boy, does it look like he tries really, really hard to throw the ball hard. It's like every ounce of energy is in those throws. And I started to wonder about this. Steve Young didn't have a great arm. Jim Zorn was not a big arm guy. These left-handed quarterbacks, maybe it's something about them. I don't know if Chris Sims, I'm going to guess he had a pretty good arm, but some of the great left-handed quarterbacks, Michael Vick had a pretty good arm. At times he had too strong of an arm. He lacked touch. But I'm watching that yesterday, I'm thinking, man, is Tua putting every bit. You know, when you watched Al Leiter pitch, and when he was with the Marlins, or you would hear him grunt because he was trying to give everything every time he was throwing. I'm going to guess Tua sounds like that. Yeah, Seton.
Tua, it looks like he takes his whole body and puts it into the throw, and it looks like it's going to go 70 yards, and it goes 10. You're like, dang, that's a huge windup.
Yeah, he puts a whole lot into it. But that's a big win. That's an impressive win to go there and beat that team. Because that Arizona's a good team, and Kyler played extremely well. All right, we'll get to phone calls coming up. Got some interesting stats. I got a great stat on Patrick Mahomes. I'll have that for you coming up a little bit. We'll settle on our poll question. Patriots and the Jets tonight. Patriots and the Jets. Anybody? Anybody? Yes, McLovin.
That was a huge win for Bill Belichick last night. The Belichick-Brady ranking swung severely. Does it feel like you judge Belichick based on Brady?
I don't, but others do. By the way, the safest way to celebrate fall's birthday is with 1-800-Flowers, 1-800-Flowers.com. You can order a dozen multicolored roses, an extra bouquet. You get it all for $29.99. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click on the radio icon, that's me, and enter the promo code Patrick. We'll take a break. Chris Sims will join us coming up. Are the Steelers that good? Is Tampa now an average team? What did he see in those moments where they were down 28-0? Somebody used the meme where Brady's holding up his four fingers when he didn't know that it was fourth down in the game against the Bears. And I think the meme was, Tom, how many touchdowns are you down by? And then they put up the four fingers there. I thought it was funny. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll be back this Monday edition, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. With social distancing still in effect, fall birthdays are going to look a whole lot different. But how about this? Celebrate with your friends and family in person with 1-800-Flowers.com. Even if you're not able to be there in person, you can still let them know how much they mean to you. Send a surprise bouquet of roses, 1-800-Flowers. Safe way to do it, and this is what I love. Right now, you order a dozen multicolored roses, $29.99. 1-800-Flowers will give you another dozen free. 40% off the original price. 1-800-Flowers handles the rest. Choose the bouquet or the arrangement. Pick your delivery date, and they will take over from there. And it's never been more important to stay connected. Be the reason your loved one has a bigger day, a brighter day, because of 1-800-Flowers.com. To order a dozen multicolored roses and the extra bouquet for just $29.99, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. You see the radio icon. You enter the promo code Patrick. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. Code Patrick. Good luck. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. or stream us live on the Peacock app. The second installment of the award-winning drama Save Me comes to Peacock with Save Me 2, A Father's Search for His Missing Daughter Continues, and this season brings more secrets, more suspects, and more surprises. Start streaming Save Me 2 on Peacock today. Got our play of the day, another stat of the day on Patrick Mahomes and McLovin. Do you have a good poll question to start with that I can maybe pose to Chris Sims?
Okay, we have a poll question.
All right.
This is actually more from Paulie. Okay, what was the biggest... Well, actually, which team took the biggest hit this weekend? Clemson, Michigan losing to Indiana, the Bucks, or the Seahawks losing to the Bills?
So the biggest hit, the biggest loss this weekend, Clemson, Michigan, the Buccaneers, or the Seahawks? That right?
Yeah, that's the four we have now. You could add to the list if you want, but those are the four that jumped out to us.
All right. Let me bring in Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live, co-host on Peacock, NBC, Sunday Night Football analyst. Who took the biggest hit over the weekend out of that group?
Well, okay. Michigan, we knew Michigan was Michigan. I mean, I don't know. That's not that big of a
against
hit.
Indiana?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they're that special, Michigan, this year. So you're right. That was bad because it's maybe Indiana. I'm not going to throw them in the class. Clemson, hey, that hurt. But, I mean, if anybody puts them outside of the top four or national championship contention, they're crazy without the best player in college football playing. Seahawks, I don't know, the same old Seahawks. They have no defense, and they rely on Russell Wilson every play. I think the most concerning to me would be the Bucks and how they played and how that looked overall last night, Dan.
Why did it get out of hand so quickly?
I think that the thing just, you know, for – to keep it simple, I mean, it looked like the New Orleans Saints went out there pissed off, for lack of a better phrase. We're a team. We're battle-tested. We've been in these positions before. You guys are the new kids on the block, and you're reading all your press clippings. And it's like New Orleans got in their face from the get-go on the offense and defensive side of the ball and just controlled the line of scrimmage. Now, and offensively, they just picked it apart with Breeze and short passing game, and that's kind of how they do it at times. But defensively, I think that was the shock. I mean, people at the line of scrimmage, in-your-face coverage, and not being able to get any separation from the Tampa Bay receivers, and then never even really trying to establish a run game. I mean, go back and look at the play. It was like they thought, oh, it's Gronk, it's Brown, it's Evans, it's Goodwin. You can't match up with us. We're too good. And it kind of just backfired in their face, obviously.
Yeah, I wondered about the game plan there. And
yeah, right.
The addition to Antonio Brown, what did you make of that?
Well, he looked good. I mean, I can't get over how damn good the guy is without playing football for so long. I mean, he will work his way into having a spot in that offense. Now, him and Brady were off sync on that one interception. You know, where that's about reading the coverage. The guy's too far off, you hook it up. If the guy's close to you, you go deep. They'll figure that out. I'm not concerned necessarily about that. The one thing I just look at the Bucks is, and where I've always been so excited about them, is their versatility on offense. And it's like last night they fell into the trap of like, oh, we got weapons, so let's get in the shotgun and throw it every play. But if you really go back and look at their year, they've been at their best when they have a little balance and they run the ball. And then Brady has the play-action pass to Gronk over the middle and those things. And last night, it looks like they got away with it and just got a little too obsessed with the wide receiver position.
If you had to pick right now, and I said the Saints, Buccaneers, Packers, Seahawks, who's going to the Super Bowl or other in the NFC?
No, I think that's the teams that really come to mind right off the bat. I think those are the four main football teams. Really, until the last 2 weeks, I would have been saying the Buccaneers. You know, it's 2 weeks in a row where I know they beat the Giants, but you know, I know that wasn't a good look last week. And they got physically kind of pushed around by New York, too. So right now, and I can't believe I'm really saying this, but the way they won last night, I mean, it's hard not to pick the Saints with – you know, that team, that coach, the defense. I've been saying this a lot, Dan. The defense has been good all year. It's like they let three or four plays every game. They dominate, they dominate, they dominate, and then they let up a big pass play or two big pass plays. It's been issues like that. And, you know, if they can execute like that on offense and not let up those big plays on defense, then I am going to pick the Saints.
Steelers are undefeated, but
yeah,
they've won their last three by 3, 4, and 5 points, and the losing team had a chance to win the game in the final minute here.
Yeah, like lackluster as it gets. I mean, disappointing by the Steelers' defense that they let the Cowboys run the ball on them like that, kind of controlled them. It's 2 weeks in a row. The Steelers' defense has been pushed around a little bit too. You know, but I think the other thing that, you know, offensively, the Steelers are just not a machine yet either. You know, I expect their defense to still play at a high level. Again, it's human nature. You know, I think they fell in the trap yesterday. Hey, we beat the Ravens. We're the best team in football. The Cowboys, who's this playing quarterback? I've never even heard of them. We're going to run them over. They fell into that trap, and Dallas is desperate and fighting for their lives over there. But the offensive thing is the thing that I look at with Pittsburgh. I do, just because, Dan, there's no run game. It's always like we got to figure out how to finagle a pass game on a weekly basis, and a lot of the times they figure out the correct formula eventually, but it's not pretty, and it's going to come back to bite them in the butt at some point.
What about the Chiefs? They can look incredible one series, and then all of a sudden you're going, Carolina's got a chance to win this game in Kansas City.
That, like, you know, I think another case of a team that's maybe a little asleep, taking it for granted, not used to being, hey, the bullseye's on your back every week, Kansas City. You're the greatest show in town. Everybody wants to see it. Kids are tuning in to watch Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs, the Super Bowl champs, all those things. I think that, you know, there's no – you can't let down when you're the team in that position, let alone sloppiness at times. I mean, hey, I know they went for the fake punt, the Carolina Panthers. That was a big moment. Chris Jones had a few bad penalties on third downs. Things like that, to where there's so many times during the game, Dan, and I know you watched, where you just go, they're about to put them away. What? They did that? They're about to put them away. What? Why would they do that? You know, there's just too much of that at times. I don't lose faith in them, though. I do think they're one of those teams that kind of just rises to the challenge, has great belief, and there's just too many good playmakers on that team for me to think much less of them.
Pro Football Talk live co-host on Peacock, Chris Sims, NBC Sunday Night Football analyst. I was watching the Cowboys, and I don't know how a Cowboy fan will feel about this. I came away going, they cared. Like, they played like they cared. Is it that simple that it's hard to explain?
Yeah.
Given everything, you know, all the odds and the obstacles, and you're putting in a quarterback who hadn't played, and you're going against the Steelers.
Yeah, no, I think there's something to say about that. Well, we saw the 2 weeks before that, we weren't sure if they care. Or the 2 weeks, I'll say this, the last 2 weeks they showed they cared. The Eagle game, hey, they did some good things. I think you would agree. They had a quarterback that was really, really raw, and they just didn't take advantage of the opportunities they had. But at least they showed fight. And yes, yesterday they did. There's no doubt about that. I mean, that was something I think we were all a little concerned about with the Cowboys, even when Dak Prescott was healthy. There was moments where you just go, where's the edge, the attitude, the physicality to this football team? And the last 2 weeks, with some of the cool things they've done in the run game and things like that to give them a little edge, I think has made them a little bit tougher, and they are answering the bell. And I'll give Mike McCarthy credit there. They're not a real good football team, but at least they're fighting.
Two against Kyler was great.
What? It really was.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah,
it was. I mean, first off, Kyler Murray's unbelievable. He's just a game changer with what he does. I mean, his big arm and his ability to run. And when they dial up a few design quarterback runs for him, I mean, he's special. I mean, he's got – who wins in a race between him and Lamar Jackson? Who do you think wins in a race between those two?
I think Kyler is quicker.
Right.
I don't know. It depends on how long the race is.
Yeah, I think you're right. Right.
That Lamar would probably catch him if they went past 60 yards, but Kyler's quick, man.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, he's got, you know, I always say to Flory, he's got three rockets up his butt. I've never seen anybody accelerate like that. It's unreal.
Not literally.
I mean, it really is. Not literally. It might be uncomfortable, but yeah, that was a fun game.
They, you know, two is kind of slide. There were a couple of moments where him, of all quarterbacks, I mean, Kyler slides, that baseball mentality. I don't understand it with you quarterbacks that, you know, you're going to take on. We had Josh Allen on 2 weeks ago, and I said, you got to slide. And he goes, yeah, I know, but I want to run. I go, no, you have to preserve your, I don't care who you are. There's somebody bigger than you and faster than you.
Yes, it's part of life in football. I mean, if you want to be Tom Brady or Drew Brees, right, and have a long career, look at what they have done.
Yeah.
They don't let people kill them. They never let the defense get off that way. They're like, oh, look at, I got them flushed that way. And their greatest importance to their team is their availability. They know that. And yeah, some of these young quarterbacks, because it's this new age where they can run and make plays with their legs, they're wired a little differently, but they are still football players. Tua, you're right. It was one of the biggest concerns for him coming out of Alabama was sometimes his awkwardness with people around him. I would like him to be careful, but man, good for him yesterday.
Why does it look like you left-handed quarterbacks are putting everything you possibly can into your throws? Tua looks like he's throwing it 80 yards and he's only throwing it 16.
Well, he doesn't have a very strong arm. This is something that I argued with a lot of people through the draft. And this is where, you know, again, he's doing well, but they're calling plays that fit just him right now. And how long will they be able to do it? We'll see. But you saw the game enough yesterday, right? It was bootlegs. Oh, here's a dump or a 10-yard crosser. Oh, here's a screen. And then, oh, it's one-on-one on the outside. We'll just throw a little fade go ball right up there. I mean, that's basically what their game plan was. And my big thing about picking them apart in the college draft a little bit was just that what you're kind of talking about, NFL-type throws, people around you, you can't get your whole body and give it the whole, like, 100% effort. Are you still going to be able to make a throw with people around you in a 20-yard in-cut or anything like that when that does happen? I don't know. We'll see. But either way, he's gritty. I love his charisma. And the Dolphins, you see why they had to make the switch. They made the switch not only because they want him to play and get the experience, but they knew they were good and had a chance to go on a run here. And they were in danger of putting themselves in, why would we give up on Ryan Fitzpatrick? We're 9-3. We're doing great. And I think they realized that might have been an issue, and that's why they pulled the trigger as far as getting Tua in there, Dan.
Any chance the Jets screw things up and win tonight?
I don't think so. I do think it'll be ugly, but you know, the Jets offense is not good enough to take advantage of the weakness of the Patriots, which is their run defense. So I don't think that's a great, like, advantage Jets. I don't think they're gonna be able to throw the ball. Jets defense is a pain in the butt, as we know, but it's not real talented. And I think eventually that Patriots offense can run the ball on just about anybody. And they're just a little bit more talented to where I think they win like a 24-16, you know, 23-14 type of game, Dan.
What are you thinking when you throw an interception or as a quarterback and then you may have to tackle somebody? Phillip Rivers. Oh. Phillip Rivers didn't have a good day yesterday. You know, Peyton would famously just sort of fall down and, you know, like, and I get that.
Right.
But Andrew Luck one of the hardest hits I've ever seen in college football was delivered by Andrew Luck in a game where he threw an interception and he closed on this guy and just annihilated him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's built like a linebacker back in his college days. So he had a different mindset than me. I know that for sure. All right. I mean, to answer the first part of the question, when you throw an interception, you throw it, you see it, oh, and you just, I can't believe that. I can't believe he intercepted it. I can't believe I threw it. Then he starts to run around, and you start as a quarterback. At least I did. I was like, come on, somebody make the tackle. Somebody make the tackle. And you're really hoping somebody will make the tackle, and you're just staying alive just to hope you don't have to do it. And, of course, that time is going to come where you're going to have to at one point. I made a few, I think, in my NFL career, but I got run over.
Check and see if Chris Sims has any tackles.
Chris threw some interceptions. Yeah. You know that.
18 career picks, no tackles. That's being smart, protecting the brand.
No, you know what I did, too? I think I got two tackles actually on fumbles by the running back where he fumbled and now I'm there. And like, I believe it was Frosty Rucker back in the day, the Carolina Panthers. He picked up a fumble from Cadillac Williams and he was running right at me. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I just know I'm not going to win this. So I just got low and I let him run over me and I stuck up my hands and I just thought, he'll trip, he'll fall down. And he did.
good to check in with you, Chris. Always great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Be good, guys. See you, everybody.
That's Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host on Peacock, NBC Sunday Night Football analyst. Your phone calls are next. Play of the day coming up as well. Settle on our poll question back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh my God.
The play. The play's called play of the day.
Runner left, I got it!
I'm gonna play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Fourth and 9. This is the ball game. Minute 26 to go. No timeouts left. Down by a touchdown. Trojans trying to rally somehow, some way. Slovis to pass. Throws for the end zone. It is caught! Touchdown! USC! Drake London in the back of the end zone, and the ball game is tied! How do you do?
Courtesy of Learfield IMG College, in a span of 3 minutes and 8 seconds in the fourth quarter, USC scored 14 points and piled up 140 total yards as they squeak by Arizona State. USC plays Arizona coming up next week. Play of the day brought to you by MasterClass, offering over 90 classes on a variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their field. Get unlimited access to every MasterClass, 15% off your first year of an annual membership at masterclass.com/Patrick. I signed up for a couple of MasterClasses. I wanted to see. Now, a couple of them had to do with cooking. A couple had to do with photography, Annie Leibovitz. And also Steph Curry was in there. I thought maybe he could help me with my jump shot. I'm not sure if he can, but I thought that I would take the class just to see if I can improve. Even at this age, and I have nothing left to prove, I still want to have a great shot. I want to improve my jump shot. And I don't know why. Like, I want it to be perfect. And it'll never be, obviously. But I just thought, is there something I'm missing? And it's not the basket, because I don't miss that. But form-wise, I want Steph Curry to maybe help me. And I signed up for the master class. Yeah, Paul.
Are you going to skip the confidence lesson from the Steph Curry class? Because you're all set there.
Yeah.
Are you going to question Steph Curry if he goes to the class and says, any questions before we wrap up the day for my students? Your hands are a little...
If it was interactive, I might. But I did that to Ray Allen, and but he was incorrect in how he was holding the ball. The ball was resting on the palm of his hand.
He was incorrect, yeah.
Yes, he was incorrect. Mm-hmm. And I could have maybe helped him a little bit. But you sign up for the master class, Serena Williams master class in there. This body can't take any tennis, but shooting some hoops here. And then, cooking with Gordon Ramsay just to make a nice little breakfast, nice little omelet. Yeah, McClellan.
You can do tennis. My 80-year-old father-in-law beat me like 2 months ago. You don't need a lot of movement.
The knees are, no, it's not good.
All right.
No, not good.
I think golf is actually harder on your body than tennis, believe it or not, because you twerk so much.
Yeah, maybe your back a little bit, but I can always get in a cart, and then you can go get your ball. But
can't really do that in tennis.
No, you
can't. Cart back and forth.
They frown on that. They frown on that. All right, best and worst of the weekend. Let me see. How about Jonathan in Pennsylvania? Hi, Jonathan. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, DP?
Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, best of the worst. I start with best. I'm going to start with the best. The Ohio State again, performing good again. Justin Fields, man, he does a phenomenal job. Worst of the weekend. As a Cowboys fan, they failed me again. I won't tell if you have other Cowboys fans, but I'm pretty sure all the blame is on the refs. Which is not, they did an okay job as defense. They, like you said, they played it hard out. Hopefully they did good throughout the whole year, but not, they is always next year.
Thank you, Jonathan. You watched them and it just felt like they cared in that game. And I don't know if you could say that about the other games with the Dallas Cowboys, but I was really surprised with the Steelers. You know, I thought that the line was too big, because I thought Dallas, if Dallas does anything, like defensively, then they can at least keep it close. And you have a 2-touchdown margin there. Pittsburgh favored by at least 14. Dale in Indiana. Hi, Dale. What's on your mind today?
59178. I got a best, worst, and worst for you.
Okay.
My best is Dan, your Indiana Hoosiers, led by Tom Allen, beating Michigan for the first time in 33 years.
Yep.
My worst is my Indianapolis Colts getting beat by the Ravens, missing out on the Harbaugh sweep for the weekend. And the worst, I think, has to be the NFL catch rule. During that game, pivotal moment, Colts turn the ball over after Ravens are driving. Next play, Phillip Rivers throws a lame duck up, and apparently defensive player intercepts it. I still think it was an incomplete pass, but hey, what do I know? I'm not an NFL referee.
Well, I didn't think he had the ball, and I agree with you, Dale. But I think Al Riveron, the head of officials, said, well, he took three steps with the ball. Did he have the ball? Like, you can sort of have the ball, but that doesn't mean it's an interception. And I thought it was a wrong call. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, and they never reverse calls. No. I mean, they actually manufactured the wrong call, which is so unusual these days.
Yeah, Paul.
If that Ravens pick was a pick, Dez Bryant and the Cowboys want to file an injunction or something from years ago with the catch against the Packers.
Here's Phillip Rivers on the catch rule after the loss yesterday to the Ravens.
Some of them have worked in our favor in the teams I've been on over the years, and some haven't. But it's gotten so really jacked up of how the catch rule is. I mean, nobody that's played any amount of football or that has been around the game watched that and thought it was a catch, including the guy that dropped it. But, you know, you can slow it down to milliseconds and you can just make it a technicality about 3 feet touch the ground, even though, you know, somebody that's sitting back watching this probably hadn't thrown a football in his life gets to call it.
Yeah, I'm watching it, and I have to agree with Phillip Rivers. If you watch the replay, I don't know if you can go, yep, absolutely. And I was surprised, but you know, we have replay. And it felt like if you used replay, then you would have gotten it right. Justin in Virginia. Hi, Justin.
I'm going to go worse and worse. Worse is Virginia Tech losing to Liberty, and then Justin Fuente trying to ice the kicker on a 6-yard field goal after we block it, and we lost the game.
Yep. And your other?
And that's first and worst.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you, Justin. That was his worst and his worst, but it was only one play there. Yeah, the whole icing the kicker and you lose to Liberty. When did Liberty become a power? Did I miss that?
Yeah. I think they're, what are they, like 22 now?
I think so.
Their quarterback is fun, though.
Yeah. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame head coach, will join us coming up, final hour of the show. We are going to bring back an interview that we did with Alex Trebek when he joined us in studio in New York. What year was that,
Paul? That was August of 2014.
It was that long ago?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wondered why I looked decent. I looked okay back then. I was like, wow, man, what happened to me?
You probably knew you had to have your hair and your voice tight that day.
I had to have my A game when Alex came in.
You had like a crisp white.
I did.
Like you were going for assembly or something back in elementary school.
I know. But I had to be on my A game with Alex Trebek there. I think I lowered my voice a little bit there. Snappy responses. Ooh. Coming up, Ross Tucker, our good buddy from Westwood One, will join us as well. More phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. Update our poll results as well. 1 hour in the book. Two more to go. Dan Patrick Show.